We're going to be doing just what the doctor ordered for during our 40 days of prayer and fasting. And this is going to be a walk through the book of Luke. And there's a number of things to explain to you this morning. You'll see your outline is rather short, which kind of threw everybody through a loop in our offices. But that's because there's so much to share with you in regard to our 40 days. Now, let me just say this up front. Some people say, oh, well, we already had Donut Day or what, Fashnut Day, and we're already supposed to be in Lent. And I would say, yes, that's true, but what we do is we practice a literal 40 days. That is not a literal 40 days. And so they would give you off on the weekends. We don't give you off on the weekends. We make you suffer the whole 40 days. We start this coming Tuesday. What I've done is put together readings for you. And these will be at the tables on either side. And it'll be readings for you that'll go through the book of Luke. And so if you would read those, you would find that it will kind of give you a focus as we're walking through. And the sermon for that week will come out of your readings. And so what we will be doing is I will be giving you a prescription for, and then it'll be a particular topic. So a prescription for forgiveness, and a prescription for worry, and a prescription for temptation. So there's several different ones that will be coming up that will be in regard to that. So I hope that that'll be really meaningful for you, but what I would encourage you is to pick that up on either of the tables as you're leaving, so you'll have that. We start this coming Tuesday, and it'll take you all the way until Saturday before Easter. And so you'll have a particular, the readings aren't too long, and so it's kind of made just so you can be able to keep pace during that and kind of be prepared for the messages. We have several benefits that can help you in regard to it. You should have both an outline and one of these in your bulletin. So if you'd kind of make sure you pulled both your outline and that gray paper, that'll help you as I'm walking through this. You'll find a lot of your fill-in-the-blanks are going to be part of that. There's some benefits to fasting that we're going to talk about. We have those that information that is available for you. And also, there's a guide to 9 biblical fasts, and that covers the 9 areas that are there in both your outline as well as the other, and kind of a more detailed guide that can. If we run out of those, we'll be happy to make more and to make sure you have ample ones as we're walking through. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? Isaiah 58:6. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 58. It's called true fasting. I'll start with the first verse in chapter 58. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and why have we not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on a sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and the healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. And the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. There are several things that he talks about in this particular chapter, and it's a great source. Fasting is something that I don't think anybody really thinks, like, boy, I love fasting. It's just not the kind of thing that we like to do. We don't like giving up things. We like getting things. When we say, okay, we'd like to make sure that you're thinking about fasting, I know that oftentimes fasting in the church is often talked about, and particularly the Catholic Church particularly talks about it a lot as far as during Lent and what that means. But I really think there's a great importance of making sure it's a true fast and understanding what that means for each one of us. And that's why we try to practice it two times a year. We do 40 days of prayer and fasting in the fall and in the spring. And both of those are opportunities for us to kind of focus a little deeper on what does God want to do in our lives and how does he want to work. And hopefully you grow a little bit deeper during that time period. And then as a result, you can't sustain what you're doing during that 40 days. It really is not generally possible, nor would it be as effective if you continue to do it. A fast is a special season of prayer. It's a special time when you would be setting aside something. And so during that time, it's a prompt to remind you that you need to be praying instead of whatever else. And so you try to give up something. Fasting is not always about food. It could be, and it certainly is one of the ways that is very effective. Some of you medically may not be able to do that, and that's totally understandable. Then figure out something else that is possible for you to give up. So the idea is that it's a trigger to remind you whenever you go for that or you would like that, then you are reminded, I need to pray instead. So there's an importance of figuring out what your purpose is and why you're praying and what you're praying for during that. So there are several things. People would say, well, is fasting really just an Old Testament thing that we need to practice? And is it just something that we need to follow from the Old Testament and it's not a New Testament form? And my answer would be absolutely not. There are several things that we would be able to see. It's expected in the New Testament. It's definitely expected. Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So he says, when, not if, not if you fast. He says when. So there's an importance of understanding then that God is expecting us to be fasting. That should be a part of your life. It should be a part of your routine that would be a part of somehow. Now, I don't know what you would choose to do and how you would choose to operate during this fast. You may choose to give up food for one day a week. If you've never fasted for a full day, then I would say take one meal. Start there. Start something small. If you've fasted for a full day and you know what that is, then that's fine, and you can be able to do that. But don't take something so ambitious that you are disappointed and you feel like you fail. You need to make sure that you would take just what you feel that you need to be doing. So if you would fast, it would mean setting aside food, taking just clear liquids for that day, and that would give you the opportunity so you are thinking about God's thoughts. So every time you're tempted for food, you pray. That's the whole point. If you give up, now giving up something like ironing or housework is not really a fast. So make sure that you're not really thinking, okay, that would remind me all the time, right? No, it's not quite the same. So, but making sure that you're doing, I've heard some who have fasted from secular reading, some who have fasted from video games, some who have fasted from television, some who have fasted, I mean, all kinds of things that you could be able to think of creatively. How can I be reminded to pray more and during this 40 days? And what would be really important for me to kind of focus on that I could be able to do? We also see that it was practiced by the early church. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. We see that with prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. And so it was a pretty normal practice as they would go through, that whenever they were going to seek God's special anointing or his power, that they would make fasting a part of their life. And they would make sure they would ask for God's blessing. Let me say this. You're not trying to twist God's arm in fasting. You're not doing that, because you couldn't. You know, that's impossible. But what you're doing is you're trying to give full focus on God. So you're helping yourself be fully focused on him. And so by that time and by doing that, you're going to be making sure you're giving diligent attention to him and to what he wants to do as a result. We also see that it was modeled by Jesus. And so we know that as a result, he said for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Now, that is, I don't know how anyone could sustain that, and I have known extended fast. There have been a number who have done a juice fast here for 40 days. That was a little different under careful and guarded attention. What I would say is that Jesus modeled the importance of fasting. And so that's a message for us as well as we would look into it. So what is the purpose then of fasting? What are some of the biblical purposes that we could be able to use? And that's what I would like you to think about in regard to it. One is to break an addiction. If there's anything that can be more important in developing self-control, it's fasting is one of those things. Because when you've had to learn to be self-controlled about things, it really helps you to be able to transfer that into other areas of your life. And so this whole idea of transference becomes very, very important. And so one of the areas is to break an addiction. So if you're struggling with an addiction of some sort, and it doesn't matter what it is, Fasting is a great, great help to getting on that track to be able to help make that a difference. So the scripture says in Isaiah to loose the chains of injustice. Also to solve problems. We see that both Old and New Testament. There was the significance of making sure that there would be a fast. Whenever there was like trying to discern direction or trying to get God's leadership or whatever the Lord is asking for and however he's directing, certainly fasting was a way that could be used also and could help make a difference. To solve problems then is another. To win someone to Christ, fasting for that, you're really seeking God to help give direction. You're seeking God really for his spirit to be able to minister to that person. And so there's someone in your life that you want to see come to Christ. And so fasting is one of those methods that we can be able to use to help see God work in that way, to set the oppressed free. Number four, to break crippling fears. And so you're focusing more extensively on what does God want to do and how is he going to work. And so if there's a fear that you're trying to overcome that's kind of hindering you, fasting is one of those methods as well that can help break every yoke. We also, to provide for the needy. God wants to work through his people, and if there's a special need or a concern that you're interceding for, this is one of the ways, is it not, to share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter. And so there's a way that you can intercede for the needs of those that are around. To provide insight for decision-making. Once again, the importance of making sure that we can be able to make right decisions, we can head in the right direction. Those are important ways that we're going to seek after God. And whatever you're trying to do, if you can keep that as your focus, like before we make this big decision, before I go, I'm going to spend some time in prayer and fasting. Those two should go together. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Seven, to provide healing. And so it was very advisable. You're praying for God's healing to work. Great way to be able to make a part of that is prayer and fasting as well. excuse me. So we would see that even in this, you've got to remember, we're not twisting God's arm. We're not twisting God's arm, but we're doing everything possible that we can do on our part to invest in what does God want to accomplish. And so we know that God works through prayer. And so this is more intense prayer that you are working toward. And so when you put fasting onto prayer, that's showing that more intensely that you're seeking after God to do that. To have his power on my life and testimony. I can only tell you from personal experience that I can tell a real difference when fasting is a part of my life on a regular basis. In the messages and how I'm able to present, it's different. It's really different. And there's an importance of making sure, if you want God's power to rest on your life, that would be a part of your lives. And so I would encourage you to be able to say, okay, what is it that God would want to do in my life and to protect from evil? So maybe there's a particular area that you're trusting God to be able to surround and protect either yourself or your family or a situation, but you're trusting God to be able to work on that. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So he will be your protector. There's a great importance of seeking after him to say, what does God want to do in my life during these 40 days? And how does he want to work through my life? I would think that any number would be able to look at that as far as that list, and you could say, I could see how God would want to work through that. There are, in fact, maybe you have 2, 3, 4 of these particularly that would be important. If you take the gray paper, if you would take that gray paper and you would see on it, first, the purpose of fasting, Isaiah 58, there are at least 9 biblical fasts. During our 40 days of prayer and fasting, I am believing God to do his work through me and in me. The purpose of my fast, and there you have the 9 that we just talked about, the type of fast. I'm believing with God's help during our 40 days, God is leading me to fast, add to my life for the purpose of drawing near to God. What I'd like you to think about is not only giving something up, but putting something in. So maybe, you know, that extra time of your devotional that you're going to go is what you're putting in, you know, because maybe you're already doing some kind of reading on a regular basis. Maybe you don't want to suspend that. Maybe you'd like to add this in. Maybe you'd like to try to figure out some other way that could add something to your life that spiritually would be stronger. So I would say not only giving something up, but adding something as a result. And then it says, publish prayer need during the 40 days. This could be as specific or general as you are comfortable for those who will be praying for you. It could list names of those who need to come to Christ or battles you may face. This would relate to the above 9 types of fast. Use the back of the paper, and so you can write on that. I want to give you just a few minutes to be able to fill that out and see where God is leading you, and really in a quiet spirit that God could be able to direct. So what do you need to see God do in your life or through your life during these 40 days? We'll be praying for you that you'll be able to also work through this 40 days with what you believe God is directing you. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for all of your blessings in our lives. We come this morning to offer to you, Lord, our gratefulness and our thankfulness for all that you do. And whatever we're giving up for 40 days is nothing compared to what you've given up for us. We love you so much, Lord, and thank you. In Christ's name.